Before we dive into today's episode, I wanted to share a free resource that could help you or someone you know wrestle with one of life's biggest questions. Does it make sense to believe in God? This compelling chapter from Why You Can Believe takes on today's top scientific and philosophical objections and reveals three clear reasons why belief in God is entirely rational. Whether you're exploring faith or equipping someone else, it's a must read. And it can be yours today for free. Download your free copy now at premierinsight.org/resources. Again, that's premierinsight.org/resources. And now it's time for today's podcast. Before we dive into today's episode, I wanted to share a free resource that could help you or someone you know wrestle with one of life's biggest questions. Does it make sense to believe in God? This compelling chapter from Why You Can Believe takes on today's top scientific and philosophical objections and reveals three clear reasons why belief in God is entirely rational. Whether you're exploring faith or equipping someone else, it's a must read. And it can be yours today for free. Download your free copy now at premierinsight.org/resources. Again, that's premierinsight.org/resources. And now it's time for today's podcast.
Unbelievable with Justin Brierley.
Welcome back this Saturday afternoon. Hope you're having a good one and that it continues to get better here on Premier Christian Radio. Plenty to come, as I say, later on in the afternoon. But right now we're doing our faith discussion programme. It's here every Saturday afternoon. People of all kinds of different religious persuasions or no religious faith join me on the programme. And in the last week here on Premier, we've been looking at alternative spiritualities, particularly in what many people describe as a post-Christian age. Many people are turning to other ways of viewing God, other types of spirituality, often influenced by Eastern spirituality. The New Age is an umbrella term that has often come to describe many of the paths that people are now pursuing. I was at the Mind Body Spirit Festival only a couple of months ago, and the number of different ways of people engaging with the New Age was quite astonishing. And we'll be thinking about that a little later on. But Beverly Alfred is a Reiki practitioner. She also happens to be Jewish and attends synagogue. But Reiki is one form of what might be called energy healing. We already had only a couple of weeks ago a spiritual healer on the program with us who was talking about something which I suppose is pretty similar. But we're going to be hearing about Beverly's experiences, what she believes about God, about spirituality and that sort of thing. Mike Simmons is also with us. He's a Christian. He's an evangelist with Vis-a-Vis Ministries. He was on The Breakfast Show just this last week. Regularly presents the gospel to people around the country, and he's going to be discussing, dialoguing, having a conversation with Beverly. And we'll be meeting a couple more people during the course of the show as well with some of their views and perspectives on what we're talking about today. But let's greet our guests first of all. So tell us a bit about yourself, Beverly. You are when I first clapped eyes on you, I thought, this is a colourful character, because you're in a wonderful colourful dress. Even your sandals are colourful. Even your toenail paint is very colourful.
It's very colourful. Life's about, you know, living and enjoying the moment and having joy. And part of that joy is, you know, working with colour. I know that sounds really... I don't know what it sounds like, but that's what I feel. I feel better when I wear bright colours. You know, it lets the energy flow through.
So you're into Reiki. Yes. Give us a quick idea about what Reiki is.
Very basically, Reiki is using universal life force energy. Now, that's the Japanese understanding of it. I just call it love. I think what it is when I'm doing healing on people, it's not me doing the healing, it's God working through me. And God works through all of us in different ways. But when I'm doing the healing, I'm using that energy, that force field that surrounds every single living creature, whether it's a plant or a person or a cookie or an animal.
So you believe in God?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and so obviously, you know, you've got something in common with Mike already here in the studio. But tell us a bit about your early journey. I mean, have you always believed in God?
Yeah, I've always believed in God. I used to have chats with him when I was a child. Because, you know, when you're younger, you are sort of more connected to the spiritual side of life without questioning. You start to question as you get a bit older. So I've always believed in God. Both my parents, they were Jewish as well. They took me to synagogue regularly. And so I suppose my first introduction was, you know, in the Jewish context.
And that's stayed with you? You still go to synagogue?
I do go to synagogue. And I do get a lot from it, but it's kind of an emotional connection because my parents were married there 50 years ago. So it's like, it's an emotional thing. And I do help fundraise and I am involved in the community. But I'm not religious.
You're not religious. Now, that's interesting. Because what then for you is being religious?
Well, it depends on the religion, doesn't it? But sticking to sort of codes of behaviour that are prescribed by that religion, part of that, you know, I don't do those sort of things. I don't light candles every Friday night. I don't... What else don't I do?
I mean, the dietary restrictions, things like that. Would you follow those or...?
Well, I don't eat meat anyway. But that's a spiritual decision. That's an ethical decision. That's not to do with being Jewish.
Okay, that's interesting. I mean, how has your life progressed? I mean, how did you get into the New Age aspects of things, as it were?
I think, well, it was years ago, about 25 years ago, I had a problem with drugs and I was really kind of spiritually disconnected from God. It was a horrible feeling. And my sister was in a healing circle and I didn't really take much notice, but they kept praying for me. There was a kind of Christian aspect to it and they kept praying for me. And then they made me this horrible concoction from like box of trees. It was vile. But every day I took it and every day I kind of like thanked God and I stayed off of it. I mean, at that time for quite a long time. I went back onto it later, but I came off of it eventually, you know. Yeah. But they really helped me, and I began to see that there were other ways of actually looking at things. And this healing, whatever they wanted to call it, it worked. It really helped me a lot. So I found out a little bit more about it and realised what I now believe is that everybody actually has got the gift of healing. Everyone's born with the self-healing, but we kind of lose it. Thousands of years ago, we did it instinctively to each other. We helped each other. You know, we lived in communities, and we used our healing abilities. But now we've forgotten all that because we're so... supposed to be civilized, but we lose a lot of our instincts and our instinctive behavior.
So you kind of started looking into these things after you had this experience of
definitely
coming
out
of that addiction, and you've discovered, you know, a path which you believe is very freeing, called Reiki.
And so
what I mean, if you were administering a Reiki session or whatever, what would that involve exactly?
It would involve usually going to my garden because my massage table is out there. I would probably light incense, it might be frankincense or rose. I would play uplifting music, usually kind of angel music, I suppose I call it, and I would activate my hands by using kind of these Japanese symbols, and then I would place my hands on different parts of the person's body. I do that for about 50 minutes.
And what's happening, do you think, when you do that?
What I feel is happening is that I'm just harnessing the love that's in the universe, or the love, you know, God is another word for love in my belief system. So I'm just channeling love or God. That's what I'm doing. So the person's, my hands might get warm, the person might get warm. At the end, during it, they might get certain sensations. Things might come up from their past, emotional things, psychological things. It can have lots of different effects. It depends.
Okay, well, we'll maybe chat more about it later. Okay. But thank you very much for joining me on the programme today. It's going to be a fascinating discussion, I think.
I hope so.
We've also got with us, as I said, Mike Simmons from Vis-a-Vis Ministries. Tell me, first of all, what's Vis-a-Vis all about?
We're an organisation based in Essex, working across the UK and to some extent internationally, seeking to help and equip churches and Christians everywhere to share the message of Jesus.
Your background, Mike, did you grow up in a believing household?
I did. I grew up in a Christian home and at a young age made a decision that I wanted to accept the faith of my parents. As a later teenager, made more decisions, really, that brought it to become more real, much more of a commitment, much more of an experience than it was, obviously, as a child.
And you've now sort of spend your time going around telling people about it. I mean, this for you must be a real passion to devote your life to spreading the message.
Yeah, I suppose I've been a Christian communicator, I think is probably a slightly better term than evangelist, because evangelist conjures up all sorts of ideas. So a Christian communicator in different ways at different parts, different stages of my life, really. Because I'm coming up towards that middle-age thing, that 50 years next year. And I'm determined not to have a middle-age crisis. But actually, as I look back, my life has, to some extent, gone in 10-year patterns. And it's been really interesting to see that as you look back and see the different ways in which I've engaged with people seeking to share the Christian message, or particularly now, is helping Christians to be more confident about themselves and sharing their faith.
And has it been exciting to see, you know, in the course of your communicating, people get hold of that message?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, whether it's children in a children's event or adults in an adult's event I've been speaking at, or just through personal conversation and working in relationship with people, finding that actually what Jesus can do in their lives, it turns them around and makes a huge difference.
I mean, we've already had Bev talk saying she's not religious, she's spiritual. I mean, do you find a lot of people kind of don't want religion?
Very few people really want religion, I think. They're looking for something that's more real and more emotional, more that will affect their experience, rather than being, I think you referred earlier to a set of rules and regulations, as it were.
Yeah.
And I think it's important for us to acknowledge that although within Christianity there is a perception of, a real perception of being religious, the reality actually is for people who really have a living faith, they're not about being religious, they're about following God and walking with God and experiencing God in their lives. And I wouldn't look at myself at all as being religious. I don't have a set of rules and regulations. I do have a Bible that I read and let speak to me and maybe shape the way I think and believe and what I feel and what I experience and where I'll go and where I won't. But that for me is very different from having a set of rules and regulations I will doggedly follow.
Sure, sure. Well, I think we'll have an interesting conversation on the back of these. So those are our guests today here on Unbelievable. Mike Simmons, just speaking there. He's a Christian communicator with Vis-a-Vis. And Beverly Alfred, Reiki practitioner, also happens to be Jewish, but very much says she's spiritual, not religious. Well, we're looking at spirituality. We have been all this week on Premier. So we're going to be exploring a bit more about Beverly's beliefs and Mike's beliefs and having that conversation. Who do they think Jesus is? And what does Jesus represent? What is the power that Beverly is harnessing, channeling? She calls it love. What is important to God, I suppose? Maybe we'll find out a bit more about how Beverly thinks, you know, that what the paths are to God and that sort of thing. These are all questions that we're going to be exploring. So I do hope you can stay with me here on the programme through till 3:30 this afternoon. And don't forget, if you want to get involved, you can phone in, you can leave a voicemail message. That's 08456 52 52 52. If you've got a question, a comment, love to hear from you. Ring that number, 08456 52 52 52, and select option 5. And you can also email me. That's unbelievable@premier.org.uk. We're going to be continuing this conversation and hearing from Melanie as well very shortly here on Unbelievable.
You're listening to Unbelievable on Premier Christian Radio.
Good afternoon. We're talking about alternative spirituality all this week on Premier, actually, but really on this morning's programme, this afternoon's programme, I should say. We're talking about Reiki and the New Age, and my guest is Beverly Alfred, a Reiki practitioner, also happens to be Jewish, goes along to her local synagogue. And we're going to be finding out about her beliefs as far as God and spirituality and finding a path to God are concerned. Also with us, Christian Mike Simmons. He's a communicator with Vis-a-Vis Ministries, regularly presents Jesus and what he's about to people around the country. And we're going to be meeting in this section of the programme Melanie Henry, a friend of Bev's, and very much following a similar kind of spiritual path to Beverly. So those are our guests on this section of the programme here on Unbelievable. Now, I just couldn't keep you guys off the discussion, because during the break there, we you guys were already getting into the whole
yes.
the
yes.
differences in spirituality. I mean, but let's maybe go back to one of the questions I asked you earlier, Mike. I said, you claim not to be religious.
Mm-hmm.
But you are a Christian. Now, yes. Beverly has said, you know, she doesn't like things where there are rules and regulations. And that is what a lot of people perceive Christianity to be about. Now, why do you say that's not what it's about?
Well, I suppose they perceive it because of what they've experienced or what they see projected in the media, or probably because they've been to a church that kind of projects that kind of image. I think you have to dig a bit deeper. And when you think of it in terms of a personal faith, a personal relationship with God through Jesus, what you're actually thinking about is a love relationship. So in my home, at home with my wife, there aren't specific rules that either she or I have laid down, but we do know how we can please each other and how we can ensure there's a degree of harmony in our home. And I see that's what it's about being a Christian. I have an understanding and a growing understanding of what pleases God or what makes me more like Jesus. And so I want to develop my life in that way. Now, I'm not saying I always succeed, but that's the intention. So because I love him in that sense and know that he loves me, there's a relationship that means I want to please him and I know that he wants to please me. So it's not about rules, it's about what's best for me.
It's about the relationship that you're
Absolutely.
Describing. I mean, what do you think about the idea of a relationship with God? Would you say you have a relationship with God?
I do have a relationship with God, yes. I do. I see God all around me. I see him in the sunshine. I see him in the fruit that I'm eating. I see him in a blade of grass. I see him in every living creature. And what I aspire to do is to see the godness, if you call it. Well, I may shouldn't call it that, but the God or the good or the Jesus or the love in every single human being. And that's what I'm working towards.
Is that kind of where you would be coming from, Mike?
No, I'd see God as I suppose, how do you describe God? Because you don't want to limit God.
No.
In a sense, that's what you're saying. God's everywhere in anything. But I would see God more as the ultimate being, the one to whom we can actually relate. So there is a sense of which I'm in relationship with God through Jesus. And that's why I believe Jesus came. He came to reveal God to us. The Word was made flesh, is the way John puts it in the Gospels.
What do you think about Jesus, Bev?
I think Jesus was an amazing man, someone that we can all aspire to be like. I think he was a healer and a prophet, and I think people were scared of the power that he had. But I believe when we're truly evolved, that we can be like Jesus. And I say that in a respectful way. You know, and I think when we're actually that evolved, where we can forgive people who are hurting us, we don't actually need to be in this physical body anymore, because we'll be so evolved that we can just live on a spiritual plane.
Can you explain what you mean by evolved in that sense, in context?
Free from hate, free from anger, free from envy, free from what you call sins. I don't call them sins. I call them different kinds
of
behaviour.
And how do we get there? What does when you say we evolve, do you think that's people are just heading in that direction of getting more forgiving, getting more loving?
Not really, no. Like a big statement, isn't it? Yeah, that'd be so great. No, but I think there's a growing awareness that people are tired of a materialistic kind of race. What's the point of it all? They don't find happiness. They don't find fulfilment. They don't find their spiritual potential when they attach it to things.
I mean, the people who come to you, Bev.
Yeah.
Do you find that's their feeling, that they're kind of, they want more than just the material world offers them?
Well, I can't say that for everybody, because they're quite a diverse range of people that come to see me. So I can't say that's true of any one of them or all of them. I don't really know. I know that amongst the friends that I have who seek the spiritual life, they believe that their reality is something that they create themselves, and it's not reliant on an outside power. They believe, as I do, that God's in me all the time and I'm in God. It's like the whole universe is a myriad of souls, but we're also one soul. When you forget that we're all connected, which some religions can do, they preach separateness. You know, what's the word? Separatism. I don't believe in that. I believe the whole universe is connected, and we're here actually to support each other. I believe there's more than one way to God. You can find your way through Jesus, but there are also other ways of getting to God.
So I'm interested in whether you actually have a sense of accountability to God, or whether, because God's within you and part of you,
yeah,
and part of everything around you, there's no sense of accountability.
I think we're accountable to ourselves. I don't think God judges us. Human beings judge us. God doesn't judge anybody. He loves everybody in exactly the same way, whatever they do. we judge each other. I know you probably don't agree with me on that.
Well, I wouldn't disagree with the fact that God loves all of us equally and unreservedly and without question. I think that's, you know, right at the heart of the Christian message, that you know, he's reaching out in grace and love and forgiveness to all of us.
Yeah.
I think where I would take issue, I suppose, is that if God is offering all of that, if we reject that, what does that mean?
That means we're not ready for it yet. We're not ready, or we're not open, or we don't wish to be on that step in our development.
But we don't know how much longer we've got to actually achieve that. So,
what do you mean, in this physical lifetime?
Yes.
I don't believe there's only this physical lifetime. I believe there's many lives that you have.
Right, so it's not about what happens now, it's about...
What happens now is really, really important, but you have to see the bigger picture as well. Right. It's not just about now.
So is that a kind of a belief in a sort of reincarnation? I do believe in reincarnation.
Uh-huh. You know, when I was younger, I used to talk to God and say, please, can you show me the life I had before? Because I felt certain that I had lived before. But he wouldn't. But, you know, anyway, since then, I've found out a little bit more about it, and yeah, I do believe that.
So
I do believe.
Do you believe it's a kind of you progress and get better through your progressive lives? You get closer to
hopefully.
You evolve, as it were.
Hopefully, you know, yeah.
Do you think people can sort of evolve, get better, sort of, you know, get more loving and that kind of thing, Mike?
In the course of our lifetime, yes, I suppose that is possible, and all sorts of things happen. That's one of the reasons I'm interested in the kind of things you say, because I think it can be a means, it obviously is a means of moving people in particular directions that make them a better person, if you like, and change the way they view life and themselves and so on. And I think that's all very valuable in many respects. Where I have difficulty with that is I think it has to come back to the issue of accountability again, and to me, if there's a God who is reaching out to us, wants us to change and develop, if I fail in that, where I fail in that,
how have you failed? If you try, then how have you failed?
Well, if I haven't succeeded, if my life can never reach the standard.
But whose standard are you judging it by? A religious standard?
No, I judge, if there's a judgment to be made, and it'll be about me personally, not about other people, it will be a judgment against what God has laid down.
But why would God judge you? He loves you. Why would he judge you?
Well, because I love my children, but when they were growing up, when they did wrong, I had to make a judgment about that and deal with that appropriately.
Making judgments doesn't help us in life. We're not here to judge, we're here to support each other. And I'm sure you supported your children's development by using whatever methods you thought were right to help them see another way.
Sure.
I've just got a problem with the word judgment. I just really don't believe Jesus or God or anybody, you know, on a spiritual context, is judging. It's human beings who judge each other.
They do. Sadly, they do.
Yeah.
But I think we have to recognise that Jesus in his teaching made it very clear that it's not all about what happens during the course of our life. It is about what happens in the course of our lives, but there comes a point where we have to give account for that.
I'm wondering, you obviously feel that the idea of God judging says, you know, judgmentalism, you know, it says something quite negative.
Yeah.
You don't seem to appear to believe that the idea of God judging people is negative, Mike. I mean, what do you mean when you say God judges people? Are you saying God is there sort of saying, well, you did that wrong, and so...
Yeah, I'm not thinking of that in the micro sense of moment by moment, so much as in the sense that God has a purpose for all of us, and the main purpose, it seems to me, coming through the teachings of Jesus in particular, is to get into relationship with him. And without the forgiveness that Jesus brings, then that relationship is not yet reached its potential, its possibilities, and we're not therefore will come to a point of judgment. There has to be a separation of what is a person who is honouring God and knows God and has experienced the life of Jesus, the person of Jesus in their lives, making all that difference for eternity.
But who makes those decisions?
God. You know, I would say it's not about me, it's about him.
I mean, obviously, you're talking about Jesus a lot here, yep. Mike, and this is kind of quite an important thing, because I know, Beverly, you say there are many paths to God as far as you're concerned.
I do believe that, yeah, and I think it's a little bit arrogant. I don't think you're personally arrogant, but I think certain religions, there's an arrogance about them that they think their way is the only way, when, well, clearly to me, that is not the only way.
I understand that, and there's a difficulty about expressing all of this.
I think you're very articulate, and you've expressed it really well.
Thank you very much. The thing is this: when it comes to the end of things, you have to say, was Jesus correct in the things that he said?
I don't know, because I don't even know if everything he said is true. I don't even know if the Bible is true.
Well, yeah, I understand if you're not going to come from that perspective, then the Bible doesn't become your source of understanding. But for me, the Bible does provide that source of understanding of who God is, who Jesus is, why Jesus came, what Jesus accomplished, and the teachings of Jesus that are what inherently help us to follow God's ways. And if you start pulling out of Jesus' teaching things that don't fit the pattern, like he is the only way to God, then you begin to diminish the man, the person of Jesus.
In your understanding, you diminish the man, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't understand why you believe everything in the Bible.
Well, there's a big question.
There is.
But before we get to it, let's just, I'd love to introduce our phone guest and just get some reaction from her as well. That's Melanie Henry. We'll meet her in just a moment. Before we do that, let me say, if you're listening, you'd love to maybe make a comment on something one of our guests has said in the programme today. I wonder where you're coming from on this debate. Then do get in touch. What do you think about Jesus being the only way to God? What do you think about the idea of God judging us? Should it only be humans? You know, is it something that just humans do and isn't something that God would be interested in? I'd love to hear from you. 0845 652 52 52. Select option 5. Get in touch. Leave me a voicemail message. Happily play it out on next week's programme. And if you want to email, that's unbelievable@premier.org.uk.
This month only, Premier Insight is giving you an exclusive pre-release teaser to John Lennox's brand new book, God, AI and the End of Humanity, only available to the Premier Insight audience. In this powerful resource, Professor Lennox, a renowned Oxford professor and leading Christian thinker, explores the rise of artificial intelligence, biblical prophecy and the spiritual challenges ahead, grounded in scripture, not speculation. It's a must-read in our culture, and it's our thank you for your gift to Premier Insight, helping believers like you stand firm in truth, even in an age of digital confusion. You can give now at premierinsight.org/unbelievableshow. That's premierinsight.org/unbelievableshow to receive your special teaser. Thank you. This month only, Premier Insight is giving you an exclusive pre-release teaser to John Lennox's brand new book, God, AI and the End of Humanity, only available to the Premier Insight audience. In this powerful resource, Professor Lennox, a renowned Oxford professor and leading Christian thinker, explores the rise of artificial intelligence, biblical prophecy and the spiritual challenges ahead, grounded in scripture, not speculation. It's a must-read in our culture, and it's our thank you for your gift to Premier Insight, helping believers like you stand firm in truth, even in an age of digital confusion. You can give now at premierinsight.org/unbelievableshow. That's premierinsight.org/unbelievableshow to receive your special teaser. Thank you.
Unbelievable with Justin Brierley.
Melanie chuckling away at Beverly chuckling away. But we've got Melanie on the line now, so let's talk to Melanie and just see what she thinks about all of this. Good afternoon to you, Melanie.
Good afternoon.
Thank you very much for being with me. Melanie, you're coming from a sort of similar spiritual place to Beverly, is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, well, Beverly is, she was brought up in the Jewish faith, but then she's used that as her basis. And, well, I wasn't really brought up in any kind of faith. My dad was, he was quite a spiritual person, he's Jamaican, but he had seen another side to Christianity which he didn't like, you know, so he never followed that path, like his parents were Christians, but he never followed that path, and he kind of made his own way through life, and so I wasn't really brought up in any faith.
And where are you now, would you say? Do you feel that there are many paths to
yeah,
God?
Yeah, I do. Because I've kind of, across my lifetime, I've come across many religions and I've looked at all of them, you know, had a little look at Muslim and Christian, Jehovah Witnesses, and, you know, just basically sat and talked to people of those faiths and asked them questions. And, you know, I kind of simplify things because it's just easier. And I found that in, you know, the basis of all these religions are just love and love thy neighbour, and kindness and respect of each other. If you break it all down, you take away all the traditions, all the teachings and everything, that is the basis of many religions.
So love is what it's all about, ultimately. I mean, let me ask Mike to come back on that. Is that essentially what it all boils down to? Whichever religion you pick, Mike, it's about love, and so we should get rid of all the distinctions between religions and just say love is the answer.
I think that's probably true, that it is at the heart of every or most religions. I wouldn't claim to be an expert on every religion to be able to comment on that. But I think, yes, love your neighbour, love yourself and so on, love God even, is a uniting theme that runs through most religious or even New Age kind of activities. I think what I would have to say is, though, that you need to look at the source of that love and for me, the source of love is God. And that's probably why it's all here. God creating a world that we could inhabit, that we could enjoy and that we could experience, that we as human beings tend to spoil. And that's a whole other debate, but that's what's happened down through the ages. And God providing a way for us to put that right within our own personal experiences, the Christian message, Jesus coming in order to provide the one who can save us, can make us right with him, despite the fact that we've failed him or we have turned against him or we've ignored him.
But Melanie, presumably you would say, look, loving is enough. I'll ask Beverly first of all to comment and then maybe Melanie. But Beverly, would you say loving is enough?
Loving is enough. That's something you said that confused me a moment ago. Sorry, my attention went away.
Yeah,
Go
ahead.
No, sorry, it was just something you said a minute ago, but now I've forgotten. I'm so sorry.
It's all right, but would you say that, you know, going back to what Mike was saying about, you know, God, you know, shows us a way to put the world to rights with
Jesus? Oh, you're talking about God saving us and stuff, but it's us that saves us. It's us that saves us. We choose whether we're going to be saved or not by our behaviour in this life. I don't understand why, I still don't understand this part. Why is the only way, you know, for salvation or whatever term you want to use, through Jesus? I don't understand that part of it. Jesus is he's a physical manifestation of God, yeah? Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would.
Yeah, but aren't we all physical manifestations of God? That's not to insult Jesus, but we're all walking around on this earth, aren't we, in this manifestation as a human being.
Yes, we would talk about being created in the image of God, having God-like capacity or characteristics, that's very true. What I would say about Jesus is that he was the incarnation of Jesus.
What about Buddha? Wasn't Buddha also the incarnation as well?
Not in my understanding. And I think when I look and read and learn the teachings of Jesus and the things that he said, he whether rightly or not, I think it was right, put himself on that place of being the one. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He made it clear that
aren't we all the way? Aren't we all the truth?
He said that he was. And the apostles, as they picked up on that message after the resurrection itself being the kind of thing that proved it all, if you like, then started spreading a message that said, this is the man, this is the one, this is Jesus who revealed God, who died for us, is the one who can bring us into a relationship with God, not just for now, but for eternity.
Let's get Melanie's thoughts on this as well, because you said, Melanie, you looked at different religions and you found this common theme through all of them was love. I mean, do you find this claim that Jesus is the only route to kind of, I don't know, real everlasting love as kind of a rather arrogant claim?
I wouldn't say arrogant. That's quite a strong word, but I would I'd say to think that, well, first of all, he did say, I am the truth, the light, and the way, but he didn't say, I am the only truth and the only light and the only way. You know, he came with a message, and then because of his message, Christianity was formed, because Jesus, as we know, was not a Christian, he was a Jew, and he got his teachings from the ancient Hebrew Kabbalah. You see, so he went on and learnt all this stuff, and he evolved beyond being a human. Like, he was a very spiritual person. He was out there in the street. He was helping the poor people. He wasn't, like, stuck in church preaching from the pulpit. So after he left, there was this whole new kind of new age thing going on, because he came with a different message. So the people that were around him at that time were then able to go out and continue with that message. But obviously, when you go out, it's going to get taught in their way from what they know.
So you think it became distorted from the original message it brought?
I believe it could, because it's like Chinese whispers. By the time it gets to someone else, it's by the time all those thousands of years ago to now, it's changed along the way, and other things have been introduced to suit other people, and that kind of thing.
It's been fascinating to get your views, Melanie. Thank you so much for being with us. And I'm just going to allow Mike to respond to that, and we'll continue our conversation here. But thank you so much for being on the line with us.
Okay.
All right. Bless you. And that's Melanie Henry, a friend of Beverly's there. What do you think, Mike? It comes down to, again, sort of, you know, one of the questions that Beverly asked earlier was, how do I know I can trust the Bible? Now, that's almost a topic for an whole other program in a way. But what makes you trust that what we have, what Jesus said about himself and the way that people carried that on through the ages is the real Jesus?
Sure. I mean, first of all, to say that that description of how it all developed that Melanie just gave us was fantastic. She set that out really clearly and really helpfully. I would only say that probably she missed one important part of the verse that I'd originally quoted. And I spoke of Jesus being the way, the truth and the life. And she said that he didn't say he was the only way, the truth and life. I have to say he did, because he said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father, God, except through me.
That's if we believe he really said it.
So, clearly. So there's the statement upon which, I suppose, in a way, I found my my whole faith, life, work, communication and everything else. Why do I believe that's right? The message has stood the test of time. So we're talking about 2,000 years in which, yes, that message has been added to and has been developed and changed by various people at various times, often, sadly, for the wrong, in the wrong way, and causing all sorts of ripples around the world and so on. Wouldn't take away from any of that. But what I would say is that the heart, that root of the message, focused in the person of Jesus, has remained. And in fact, interestingly, is picked up at different times in history by different people. And I was fascinated to read some of the stuff that was on a website about Reiki healing that rooted it back into the life of people who were a Christian medical doctor who was kind of taking his Christian faith and expressing it in this particular way. And I guess that's what's happened down through the years. But still, what I would say is the central thing about Jesus being the Son of God, the Saviour of the world, the one in whom was invested, if you like, all the possibilities of knowing and having a relationship with God, all of that has stayed firm and true and can be found in different Christian communities all around the world, regardless of what has happened to make that difficult or impossible. And so there's some of the reasons why I would say I come back to that central truth.
Beverly, I mean, do you feel like Mike is kind of very closed off in believing that?
I don't think he's closed off. I think he's quite open, actually. I think he's quite open and ready to talk about other people's opinions and beliefs. Yeah. You know, he's looked at it, obviously, and it's very important to him, so I wouldn't say it wasn't. I wouldn't kind of diss you for that. I think it's really important. I still believe, though, that there's more than one path to God, and I still believe that Jesus was a person to aspire to, and that we've all got a little bit of that inside ourselves.
I mean,
don't limit ourselves by thinking that we're not God-like. Mm. We are.
I mean, going back to what you were saying, Mike saying we're made in the image of God, but Jesus was more than that.
God's not a man or a woman. There's no point in even assigning him a gender or her a gender, because God isn't a person. So actually, that bit I don't agree with that bit. We're made in the image of God. Maybe the love, the pure love, which is God, we have that in us, which we don't always access. But we're not made in his image, because he's not a human being. So that bit, I don't agree with that bit at all.
I mean, I can totally understand that if you don't have a starting point, if you like.
Well, I had a starting point, though. I mean, I was brought up in the Jewish faith, so I did have a starting point, and I'd have some understanding of Jesus.
Sure.
I went to a Christian school.
Right. So what I'm saying is that you've, I suppose in a sense you've left that, laid that, that starting point aside. Then you've said, I don't accept that what the Bible declares about God, about us, is necessarily,
I think some parts
holy.
Of it are true, but I think some of it's diluted and distorted and, yeah, mucked about with over the years.
Sure.
People come with their own agenda and putting bits in. I think religion should be more about inclusiveness and not separatism. I think we're all the same, we all want the same things, and sometimes religion can separate us.
But what I, what I'm really interested to find out from you, I suppose, is where's the origin of your thinking and your belief system? Where, how do you, how have you come to that?
Well, before we get to that, I'm going to have to, because that's a really interesting question, but we'll start off with that in our next section, because we're already out of time on this section. We're talking about New Age spirituality on the show today. Beverly Alfred is a Reiki practitioner, also has a Jewish background, does go along to synagogue, but says she's not religious, she's spiritual. Many paths to God. The most important thing is that people treat each other with love. And we've got Mike in the studio as well, a Christian, telling us why he believes Jesus is so central to getting there. We're going to continue this in a very short time. So do join us again on the other side of the break here on Unbelievable. Welcome back to the programme. Before we get back to our discussion on alternative spirituality this afternoon and our Reiki practitioner Beverly, let me tell you that next week we've got another person of another belief in the show, this time Ian Thorpe, who's an atheist. He's been chatting to Christians, though, on the internet, into the various sort of messaging forums and things like that. And we're going to be asking the question, what do we owe our morality to next week? Is it our Christian past? And is the church doing what it should do in society? Ian's very worried about some expressions of Christianity in the world today. We're going to have some of the Christians that he's been talking to on the internet with us as well. So I think it's going to be quite an interesting program next week. Do join us for that. Let's get back to our discussion, though, this afternoon here on Unbelievable.
You're listening to Unbelievable on Premier Christian Radio.
Welcome back. And we're talking about Reiki. That's a form of healing, and it's practiced by Beverly Alfred. Beverly also Jewish and attends synagogue, but believes there are many paths to God. The most important thing is that people treat each other with love. Mike Simmons is an evangelist, or a Christian communicator, might be a better way of putting it, with Vis-a-Vis Ministries. And regularly talks to people about Jesus and that sort of thing. And he's been having that discussion with Beverly this afternoon. And we're going to be meeting shortly Nick Stead. He's from the London City Mission. And they regularly visit the Mind Body Spirit Festival, which is a sort of New Age fair. Goes on in a couple of locations around the country each year. We'll be finding out what his thoughts are on this sort of alternative spirituality that we've been discussing this afternoon here on the programme. Well, going back to your question, Nick, Nick, let's try Mike even, before we went to that break, you asked Beverly essentially, you know, what is the foundation for where you're coming from on your beliefs about God? Because you were saying, Beverly, you don't believe we're made in the image of God, because God isn't male or female. God is just God. And so, you know, but just restate your question maybe, Mike, and see what Bev has to say.
Yeah, I was just really interested to sort of sense how you've come to your perspective and your belief system in a way, because it seems to me it's come from probably from a range of sources.
Yeah, I think it has come from a range of sources. As I said, I was brought up in the Jewish faith. I went to synagogue regularly. I felt really connected to God when I was much younger. Then when I got a bit older, I got into trouble and I had a drug problem, so I got disconnected from God and any sort of spirituality. Then I was helped with my sister and her group, a spiritual group, helped me. They helped me get off the drugs that I was on by making this potion, as I said earlier, and praying for me. There was a Christian element to it, but also they believed in the healing, which, you know, is connected to Jesus, but I don't exactly know what to say about the group. But anyway, they were a spiritual healing group. They prayed for me a lot and they helped me a lot. Yep. So I began to think, hang on, there's something more to this than just a religious aspect, you know, of spirituality. Mm-hmm. Then I found out through another friend that I could actually do healing myself, and I started to find out a bit more about it. I did a Biora course, which is working with people's chakras, that's energy centres in their body. It is an Eastern thing. And then I did a Reiki course.
Do you have any friends who are Christians
Yeah, oh yeah, I've got a born-again Christian as one of my closest friends, yeah.
What does she think about what you do?
She makes no judgment, but she won't let me do it on her. I just offered to do it on Mike. He said no. Justin said he was busy.
Yes, I'm presenting a radio show. But the point is, I mean, I think it's interesting because I think there are some people out there who don't see maybe a problem with being of a particular religion and doing the Reiki healing. And I mean, how do you work it out in terms of having a Jewish background? Do you see Reiki as...
I don't see the problem. I really don't see the problem at all. If I'm helping people by channeling love or God through me while I'm doing the healing, I don't see what the problem is. Surely that's an upliftment. It helps my spiritual development for me to harness and access that wonderful power.
Okay, well, why would you be maybe hesitant about going in for something like this, Mike, as a Christian?
Well, for actually receiving...
Receiving a Reiki healing.
I'm sending the power.
You can't see this, but Beverly had a handout towards Mike.
Yeah. Fred didn't feel anything.
but anyway.
I mean, what I would say is I wouldn't dare sit here and suggest that nothing happens. I can accept and understand that in your Reiki practice and in all manner of other things, you know, something's going on.
Yeah.
I fully accept that's the case. What I would say is that because of my understanding of God and my relationship with Jesus, that I need to seek and only seek my health and healing and support in a whole host of ways through Him. And because of that uniqueness of Christ and because of his claims and because of all that I've learnt and experienced from him, that's my source of support and help and healing.
I'm going to throw in something that's controversial and potentially, you know, offensive, and forgive me for this, Beverly, but I had an email in the week since we did our program with the spiritual healer.
Oh, yeah.
The email basically said... look, this guy, the spiritual healer, David, who we had on the programme, is a medium, and he's channeling energies which are negative energies, but they're having an effect, but this is not coming from God. This is a kind of false. It's a dark force,
yeah.
but it's appearing to be good.
Okay.
What do you make of those kinds of claims, Beverly?
Well, I didn't hear the programme. I don't know anything about the spiritual healer. I know the person's coming with their own agenda. Maybe as a Christian, so I
have a feeling
that
person would say exactly the same thing about you. Okay,
they could do. Yeah,
let's put it that way.
Of course.
I mean, so what would you say about someone who says that to you, Beverly?
I'll say that's your belief, and I have to respect your belief. My belief is not the same as yours. I don't need to prove anything to anyone.
What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting with Beverly. I don't want to offend her.
I don't mind.
But I do actually, you know, I don't believe that what she's practicing is what is of God, in the sense that a healing direct from God through prayer, through Jesus, is from God.
Okay. I'll say this is an open forum. We've got to be honest with each other.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we can do that without taking offence necessarily.
Of
but there are some obvious differences, and I hope, you know, we can take that in a spirit of
friends.
Love and, and peace.
I think it's very interesting. It's fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe we'll bring in another voice to our conversation at this point. And let me remind you, if you're listening and you'd like to be part of this conversation, more than happy to take your call. Leave me a voicemail message. What do you think about this whole area of healing, that the New Age sort of way that people often get into it? Where does the power come from? Is it a good thing? And if it's healing, is it always of God, basically? You know, I think a lot of people would see it that way. Maybe you don't. Whichever way you're looking at it, would like to hear from you. 08456 52 52 52. Select option 5 to leave me that voicemail message. And any that I deem to be, you know, of interest and worth passing on, I do happily pass on to our guests as well. And you can also email me unbelievable@premier.org.uk.
Unbelievable with Justin Brierley.
Let's get some opinion now from Nick Stead. Nick is from the London City Mission, and I bumped into him a couple of months ago at the Mind Body Spirit Festival. I think Nick has actually has listened to the programme before. Good afternoon to you, Nick.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for being with me. Nick, you've been at various New Age fairs and things. Where do you think, you know, they seem to be very popular, gaining in popularity. People seem to be hungry for something, don't they, for spirituality. I think a lot of people in this day and age, as Beverly was saying earlier in our programme, want to go beyond the material. There must be more to it than that.
Yes, we meet many people that are hungry for spiritual things. They realise there's more to life than just the physical or material. And people these days, when they see church, they often think religion, and they seem to sort of stay away, and yet they're being drawn to these mind-body-spirit festivals. Trouble is that, you know, instead of seeing religion, people really need to look at a relationship with God, because that's what's missing. I believe that's what people are hungering for, really, a personal relationship with God, and yet they're not finding it in religion, and so we're looking.
Yes, I mean, people may think of church as the last place they'd find God.
Yeah, some people do, because they look at the tradition and the old building, and many people perhaps have not gone to church for many years, and yet, of course, church is changing, and there are millions of people who know God in a powerful way today, and that's really what people are hungering for.
What do you think? You heard our discussion we were just having on the source of power, and are you concerned at where many New Age practices are drawing the power that seems to happen? I mean, people don't come to something unless they see it having an effect on their life. But what do you think? Is it a beneficial effect? Are you worried by it?
Yeah. So as Mike said earlier, that things do happen, you know, there are healings and things, but I believe that, you know, it can cause more problems than it solves. Sometimes I've met people that have had spiritual healings or whatever, not necessarily Reiki, but different things, and later on they've got worse problems, spiritual problems, things happening in their house or in their life, depression and that sort of thing. So it's important to think about what you're getting yourself involved in, I think.
So from that point of view, there might be a danger for you of opening yourself up to spiritual forces which you're not really sure about.
Yes, I think in the Bible it says, test every spirit to know whether they're from God. And, you know, when we come across something spiritual, it is good to just check whether Jesus really is behind that particular spirit.
I mean, Beverly, do you feel like
check the spirits?
Yeah.
What do you think about that? See where they're coming from. Jesus or from God. How do you check with the spirits?
How do you check?
It's a bit nebulous, isn't it? I'm trying to.
What do you think, Nick? How does one go about making sure of?
Well, I suppose one could actually look into the background of whatever that the healing is. I did have a friend who trained as a Reiki practitioner.
Okay.
And she told me that she had to go through some, I don't know, an initiation process or something, where she met her spirit guide, who would help her to heal as a practitioner. And so that, you know, that would tell me that, you know, perhaps it's not just God, but there's other spirits involved as well.
But, I mean, I do believe in spirits. You know, some negative, yeah, and some positive. I do believe that of people who've died, and their spirits sometimes do hang about. I do believe that.
So you believe there's more than just God out there? It's about spirits and things like this?
I believe that. Or souls, lost souls, people who have, you know, passed over, but actually haven't passed over to a next level. They're still kind of in the in-between worlds.
Do you believe in what Nick just mentioned there, a spirit guide?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think we all have spirit guides. Sometimes we don't realise they're there with us. Yeah, it might be somebody you were close to who has died, or it might be someone from another time, but yeah, I do believe in spirit guides, yeah.
What do you make of that, Mike?
Well, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, who gets the honour and the glory for the healing or from the experience? And for me, the Bible's clear that anything that happens needs to bring glory to God and to his son Jesus. and for me, therefore, anything that doesn't do that is something I don't want to be part of my personal experience, my own life. And much of what you're experiencing and you're talking to me about, talking to us all about this afternoon, seems to me to be suggesting there are all kinds of other spirits and practices and experiences, but they're not actually pointing directly back to God and to his son Jesus. They're not about glorifying him. And for that's why I would draw a line, if you like, for me.
But surely this is how I feel. When I'm doing healing, or when the healing is working through me, I feel a massive upliftment of my spirit. I feel that moments that we were talking about before. You know those moments when you feel so happy just to be alive that you could cry? I think those moments are when you're really, really connecting to God. A lot of people never have those moments.
Sure.
How, when I'm feeling like that and the healing, love, you know, God's love is coming through me onto another person and they're feeling better, I don't understand any negative aspect of that.
I'm not suggesting that doesn't happen. I'm not suggesting that isn't real.
Really?
I'm fully accepting that can happen and that is real and that's your experience and it's probably the experience of the person that you're working with.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is that it doesn't, for me, make sense in the sense that it's not actually bringing me into a relationship or on in my relationship with God through Jesus.
Okay.
And that, to me, is of prime importance for every single human being. We all need, in my view, because of what the Bible says, we all need to know God through Jesus.
But why is the only way through Jesus?
Because God sent his son Jesus into the world for that one purpose.
But if he was here to save us all, what's happened? The world is in an awful mess. So if he is here to save us, I don't understand. Is he coming back?
He is coming back. Jesus is coming back.
Yes. When's he coming back?
Well, if I knew that, a lot of things would change quickly.
So you really do believe that he's
going to
come
back? Yes, I really do believe Jesus is coming back.
In what form will he come?
He will be seen.
Will he be as a man, a woman?
Yes, as a man. He will be Jesus. I mean, every eye will see him.
Will we see it?
We will see him.
Even people who don't believe in him?
Yes.
I mean, Jesus, the first time he came, wasn't in that way. But Beverly's saying, why isn't the world, as far as I can see, isn't that much of a better place for the fact that he came the first time? What difference does it make?
Well, it makes all the difference in the world to the individual. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
The second thing is, let me give you an example. If all of the work that's done amongst young people in this country was suddenly if all the churches and all the Christians that were involved in work amongst young people, getting them off the streets, supporting them, etc., was to be withdrawn, the government could not replace it.
What about the other religions, though, as well, who are also supporting
young
people?
There are some things going on.
There'll be lots of things going on. But you come with a Christian bias. So.
No, well, I come because I know, statistically, that the work done amongst young people and supporting young people right across all areas of society...
Is that because it's a Christian country, though?
It's because the churches and Christians have put their faith into practice and have said, you know, it's not just about me, it's about helping and supporting people in their particular circumstances. I mean, you're talking to Nick, isn't it, from the London City Mission? I don't know Nick, but I do know the London City Mission. You know, the vast amount of work they're doing across the capital city amongst young people, homeless people and so on. If all of that was to be removed overnight, it would leave the most enormous hole.
I'm sure there are things going on in other religious organisations.
There will be other religious organisations who are also doing good.
I mean, I guess the question for you, Beverly, is fine. You would totally be behind Christian organisations doing that, helping young
doing
people,
good. Yeah,
doing
that's
good,
what people
et
want. Yeah, of course.
But why do it in the name of Jesus, particularly?
I don't understand why it's so limiting that it has to be that the only way for you to go forward or, you know, to know God is through Jesus.
Let's allow Nick maybe to come in with a perspective on this. Nick, what would you reply to Beverly's question there?
I believe. The reason why it's purely Jesus is we need to look back at the Hebrew scriptures, which say that atonement is through the blood. Moses said it. And in the time of the Passover, there was a Passover lamb that saved Israel through its death. And we believe that Jesus, or Yeshua, is the Jewish Messiah, the one that Isaiah prophesied about that was to save not just Israel but the world, and that is why there's no other religion that deals with sin in the same way, apart from the way Moses said it, you know, through Jesus.
Beverly, you're looking like you don't like any of the concepts that Nick's dealing with.
I don't like the concept of sin. I think people have bad behaviour, but we're not sinful. That's a very damning word. I don't believe everything that's written in the Bible. I don't really understand why you believe everything that's written in the Bible. You know, people ask me how I come to the source, you know, my beliefs. I'm interested. I mean, I think some people who are brought up as a Christian, they don't always question it. Some do, obviously, but some don't. And I'm just wondering why we keep coming back to this limiting thing of only having a relationship with God by, you know, knowing Jesus first. I can't get my head around it. I can't. It's really limiting to me. Really, really limiting.
And I understand that, because it is.
Thank you.
It is limiting. I can only hold it up as what I believe to be the truth, because Jesus declared it himself, because the scriptures, and as Nick said, you know, the Old Testament was pointing towards it, and the New Testament unpacks that and makes and applies it, and because I, as a Christian, I'm commissioned by God, if you like, by the scriptures, to go and to spread that message. I don't mean that as a condemnation. I mean that as an opportunity for people to discover something that has made all the difference in my life, in the people sure. around me, has given us a hope, not just for this life, but for the future, for eternity, has taken away the guilt that so many people live with.
That's good.
Has removed the hopelessness that so many people live in, and has given me purpose and direction for my life. And I just want other people to know that and to experience that and to be sure of that for eternity. And that, you know, that's the key, really.
I think that's great for you. For you, I think that is great. And I think I'm happy for you, and I support you. I support you in that decision.
I guess there's some key differences, though, in terms of what Nick just mentioned there of sin and the idea that Jesus came to free us from sin and to forgive our sins. Now you don't like any of these concepts, do you, Beverly?
What is sin? What is, you know, sin? Why is a sin? Is being homosexual, is that a sin?
Well, that's a very specific question.
I just wonder, though. I mean, so I just want to deal with this idea of sin. Is that a sin?
Well, what I wanted to talk about really is the fact that sin is anything that separates us from God.
Is that something that you believe separates people from God?
Homosexuality?
Yeah.
I believe it can do. But so can adultery, and so can, you know, a whole host of things. It's not about the specifics so much as about the principle.
Okay.
That anything that means we fall short of God's standard is described in the Bible as sin.
But homosexuality has nothing to do with adultery, is it? They're completely separate things.
I mean, again, it's kind of an issue that stands alone in terms of we've done whole programmes on the homosexuality issue.
I'm just interested, that's all, because you seem like a really kind of tolerant, loving person, and I just wondered what your personal stand was on it, and I thought it's something that I'm quite interested in, you know, because I have met Christians before who, you know, we talk about aspiring to be like Jesus, but they're not forgiving, and they're judging people who, you know, I've had people, religious gay friends, who find it really, really hard actually being openly gay.
Sure. I mean, there's a whole host. There are lots of issues around that, and it's difficult in a couple of minutes to actually express a proper view.
Of course. But it's just that you put adultery in the same sentence as homosexuality. I don't understand how they could be put sort of together. One is, you know...
One is a betrayal.
It's really betraying someone, isn't it?
Yes.
And the other one
is
the way you are.
But it's also... Adultery is outside God's ideal of marriage.
So then is homosexuality outside God's idea?
Well, marriage as defined is between a man and a woman, so yes. But let me say this, though. When Jesus was faced with an adulterous woman, he didn't condemn her.
No.
And neither would I want to condemn someone in adultery, someone in homosexuality, someone who's an alcoholic, someone who's, you know, anything else. And don't put those into a...
Well, you
I'm not
put them
boxing
all together.
I'm trying to move it into whole other areas.
Get away.
So that, you know, it's about life, isn't it?
Yes.
And Jesus didn't condemn people for things that were wrong in their lives. He loved them.
Why do we condemn people? Why do we think we have that power to condemn people, to judge people, when we should be bringing them in? That's what you're working towards, isn't it?
Yeah,
bringing people into
the
love. Shine them, but shine them through Jesus. I still don't understand why it only has to be through
and
Jesus.
And you're going to have to respond in just about less than a minute, because we're drawing to the end of this section of our programme. go ahead, Mike.
Well, I don't condemn. I invite. I'm encouraging people to come to someone who I believe is there for them, was sent for them, died for them, lives for them, and wants to know them, wants a living daily relationship with them.
Yeah.
We've kind of got to wrap things up now. Let me first of all say thank you to Nick Stead of London City Mission. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you.
And God bless you, and thanks for being part of this programme.
Okay.
Bless you, Nick. Last thoughts, final thoughts, 30 seconds each. I hope you've enjoyed it today.
Beverly. All that matters in life is love. Being loving, seeing the God in everybody, doing what you're meant to be doing, which is uplifting the whole planet by doing good. And that's what I'm about, love and peace. Shalom.
Bless you, Beverly. Mike.
It's the best verse in the Bible, isn't it? For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life.
All right, there you go. That's where we'll have to leave. We'll have to leave things there. Maybe we'll have a chance in the future to continue discussions. It never seems like enough time, does it? But thank you for listening. Once again, if you want to get in contact, you're free to do that. 08456 52 52 52 and select option 5. Leave me a voicemail message or email unbelievable@premier.org.uk. That was our edition of the programme on alternative spirituality with Beverly Alfred, our Reiki practitioner, and Mike Simmons, who's a Christian communicator with Vis-a-Vis Ministries. They've got a website, haven't they, Mike?
We have. Vis-a-Vis.org.
Thank you very much. Do feel free to visit that. And do feel free to visit the Premier Radio website. Go to the radio section there and you can listen back to past unbelievable programmes. This one will be available from the beginning of the coming week. So I do urge you, if you've enjoyed it and want to listen again, or perhaps let a friend know about it, let them know about that. premier.org.uk/radio. Click on Unbelievable and you've got your access to a whole host of archive programmes there. I do hope you can join me again at the same time next week. You're unbelievable. Going to be joined by Ian Thorpe. He's an atheist, but he's been chatting to Christians online for some time. We're going to be asking the question, what do we owe our morality to? Is it our Christian past? Is the church doing what it should do in society? We're going to be hearing Ian's thoughts on that, and indeed some of the Christians that he's been talking to. The internet's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Bringing people together. And that's what we hope our programme can do as well, help people to get talking about what they believe. Hope you've enjoyed it today. Do stick around. Father John Twistleton is along on the way next. But I'll see you at the same time, hopefully, next week here on Unbelievable 2 till 3.30.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard-of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.